Story number two, deflationary forces or the asset class doghouse. For many, many years, we've been in an inflationary story mode, although it's been a slow burn kind of inflation, certainly not hyperinflation. And we really had instead turned to a much more deflation kind of scenario. The emerging markets, as the capital started to move out and the sort of global growth started to diminish, we saw many of the emerging markets trade down. As precious metals got pushed down hard, of course, precious metals dropped the most, more than emerging markets. For months in 2012, we saw a divergence between commodities and the S&P 500. Usually those kinds of divergences are hard to explain. Until that time, for a couple years, commodities have been trading up with the S&P almost in tandem as the central banks print money, both trade up together. And generally, commodities trading down indicates slower growth, and it's hard to imagine corporate earnings up, up, up. Although, you know, there are instances where lower commodity prices, of course, means better prices for the better earnings for the companies. So, you know, as the price of coffee comes down, Starbucks does better. But generally poor commodities price indicates slower growth. And so it was surprising to see the strength of this divergence starting last year and really, really opening up this year, especially with the slam down in precious metals. Now, what we're watching in precious metals is, among other things, in addition to slower growth globally, particularly in the emerging markets where people tend to be buyers and holders of precious metals, we're also seeing an extraordinary effort using law and regulations in the G7 to bring down the price of precious metals and restrict ownership and control. We have the French passing rules that you can't mail precious metals. We have in Europe increases in the VAT tax on precious metals. We see the Dodd-Frank suitabilities rules roll out in the United States. I told the story of a brokerage firm who called me up and said, I want any account with more than 20 precious metals out of here in 2 weeks, you know, get it out. Because it's deemed not to be suitable under the Dodd-Frank rules. And, of course, we have increases in the margin requirements, which are always very suppressing of the price because they pull the rug out on leverage by a variety of different parties. We're going to discuss it more next week. We have James Turk and Franklin Sanders joining us for the Precious Metals Market Report. But one of the reasons I believe that it's happening is if you look at the financial system readying itself for bail-ins and this shift of capital back into the rebalancing back into the developed world in North America, I think there's a real effort to cover the shortages in the central bank and banking system in the gold inventories. And this is one way to bring in a lot of inventory fast for those institutions to cover their position. Again, we'll talk about it more next week on the Precious Metals Market Report. The bond market was a topic of major focus for Chuck Gibson and I on the last equity overview this year. And if you haven't listened to it, I really encourage you to do so. We have been the beneficiary for many decades of a long decline in interest rates, which of course means strength in bond prices and strength in the bond market. And it's very hard to believe that interest rates could go lower. We see various parties, including Bill Gross, manager of the largest bond fund in the world, saying, you know, the end of the bond bull is with us. And then, of course, we had Ben Bernanke announcing several weeks ago that the Fed was going to stop buying mortgage paper, $85 billion a month, and we had what the market referred to as a taper tantrum as interest rates spiked and people got very worried. We saw in the last 2 months record withdrawals from the bond funds as a result, and you know, prices dropped 5 to 10% on bond funds and REITs. And literally, I believe what we saw is a little bit of an overreaction, but there's no doubt about it. It's hard to imagine that the long bond can continue down, and we're seeing interest rates on the long end sneak up. That's going to have an impact on mortgage rates and the housing market. So But one way or another, the long bull in the bond market is definitely over, and that's having an impact because it's been the bond market that's financed sovereign governments and municipal governments around the world and allowed this tremendously cheap run of capital. And that includes corporations being able to re-engineer their balance sheet, and a surprising amount of corporate earnings have come from re-engineering their balance sheet and being able to sort of arbitrage cheap debt with other investment opportunities. As the capital pulled back, as I said, we saw the emerging markets drop. Not surprisingly, we see riots in Brazil and Turkey and Egypt. Some of that is a result of this capital pulling back and the drop of commodities prices, because the emerging market is very, very tied to the well-being of commodities. A lot of what they're providing was the natural resources to support global growth. The best investment sometimes, it seemed, in the second quarter was bullets. So lead bullet form seemed to be rising dramatically in price.